So we're just going to continue with part B of the sermon. Really just felt the Lord speaking a lot of those things that we're talking about. Like, I just want to bask in that majesty and just how he is king. The one line really struck me, like, every throne needs to fall. And that's in our own lives too. Every throne needs to fall. Every throne that raises itself up against Christ needs to fall and bow the knee. And some thrones need to be totally destroyed. Others just need to fall down into their proper place. There's other things that are still important in our lives that just can't have a throne higher than Christ. Right? So they need to be brought down lower into their place. And, you know, going back to even taking care of ourselves and that, every throne needs to be in its proper place. A lesson I learned, God had to teach me years ago when we came back from Haiti in 97, is that the throne of ministry had to fall. Not fall out of my life, but it had to fall down to its proper place. It was too high. And that's a hard one, because you think, but ministry, it's for the kingdom of God, and yet it needs to fall in that proper place where it's not elevated above God, and it's not elevated above what he is saying and what he is doing. It's not elevated above my relationship with him, and it's not elevated above the things that he wants to teach me and show me, and how he wants me to live my life. And that had to fall. I had to fall into that proper place. And every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And I think of the title of Jesus, King of Kings. And so he had to become king of the king of ministry. There is still a place for that throne of ministry in my life, but it has to be under the throne of Christ. Yeah. Everything in its proper place. I love what Candace shared about that song of the oceans, and then what Barry was sharing about into the up to your waist in the water, up to chest, up to your neck. And yet, like, when you shared that, Candace, it's just like, whoa, yeah. Because we can be in Christ and yet still have our feet firmly planted on our own understanding and our own safety and what we're comfortable with. I love that. And God's like, no, just like I am the water, like, just swim in me. Just, it's just you and me. Don't let your feet stand on the understanding of this world and the sands of this world. It's like, just give in fully. And I think that's so key. It's so key as we reach out. It's so key as we live our lives. Back to the original question that Forrest brought up while we were sharing, you know, to take care of ourselves. Passages just started running through my heart as we were worshiping. And we are the light of the world. We are the fragrance of Christ. We are the salt of the earth. All these things. And if we're going to be light, if we're going to be that light for others, that light has to be in us. And if we're going to be that saltiness has to be in us. And if we're going to be that fragrance has to be in us. And so, in a sense, yes, not selfishly, but like out of need, we need to go back to the source over and over and over again. We need to have it be us. And that will minister to others more than anything. As it flows out of us, I was taken to the passage of where streams of living water will flow from within you. And it's not just for yourself. Other people will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. They'll come to your river, the river flowing out of you, and they'll taste it. And to some, it'll be horrible, like the 2 Corinthians passage that talks about us being a fragrance. To some will be the fragrance of life, to others the fragrance of death. To some, the waters will be sweet and exactly what they're looking for. To others, it will be bitter. And then they're offended by it. But it has to come from us. It has to come from within us. We have to be the light of the world, not just talk about the light of the world. We have to be the fragrance of Christ, not just talk about the fragrance of Christ. We have to be the living waters in us. It has to be, he has to be in us, not just us talking about it. And so to take care of ourselves so that we're not just talking about Christ, it is truly Christ in us. We are little Christs, if you will. Not messiahs, not saviors, but we are examples of Christ. Not just that we talk about it. And so we need to take care of ourselves. Again, not out of selfishness, oh, this world's mine or this life is mine. No, but I need to so that I can walk out better and better who Christ is. I'm reminded so much of this as a pastor, and I remember reading a few books, and I don't know which ones, but many books, many authors, many different people, men and women of God throughout history have said this, so it's not just one person, but where we need to be careful as teachers, preachers, to not teach on anything that God hasn't done in us first. And if we do teach on it and it's not done in us first, to make sure other people know, hey, God's still working on me in this. I am not a shining example of this, and yet this is what the Word of God says. But the more effective preaching and teaching is when we teach first with our lives and then with our words. We still need to teach with our words. Absolutely. Romans talks about that. How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if someone doesn't preach? How can they preach if they're not sent? So we still need to speak with our words, but it has to be with our lives so that my life backs up my words. And it's like the Casting Crowns song. May my life song sing to you. Not just my words, but my life. And so we need to take care. And so when I counsel on marriage, I got to make sure that my marriage is good. That I am pouring into my marriage. So that I can teach others, not just with my words, but that I can say, okay, and now look. Look, I can give you an example. Look. And yeah, it's not as good as we want it to be yet. We want it to be more. But look. As I share about my own peace and the peace that God brings, I can say, okay, we're talking about peace. We're talking about rest. Look. I want to be an example. I want to be the fragrance of it. I don't just want to talk about the fragrance. Oh, I've heard about this fragrance. It's amazing. I've heard it smells wonderful. Oh, well, where do I smell it? I don't know. I don't know where to find it. But I've heard it's amazing. I've heard it's beautiful. No, we want to be such that it's a beautiful fragrance. Here, look, smell. Smell the peace of God on me. See it on me. Taste it. We want to be that example. We want to be that light. We want to be that perfume. We want to be that salt. We want the living water to flow from within us. I think I've shared before, a while ago, but about the phrase where Jesus says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. It was a very common phrase for rabbis and their students at that time in history. And the rabbi didn't say it to his disciples until he could say, "You are now like the rabbi. You are now like me. Now go make your own disciples." So it had to be done in them first before he would send them out. So a rabbi would gather around, because Jesus wasn't the only one with disciples. There were many rabbis had disciples. And they would teach them and show them and nurture them. And then eventually they come to that place of, now you're ready. Go make disciples. You're like me. Go make disciples. That's why. So am I like Christ? Am I like Christ? Do I have the peace of Christ? Do I have the joy of Christ? Do I have the love of Christ? Does my marriage display Christ? Do people look at my marriage and say, that's a marriage I would like to emulate? Like, not our separate personality, because there's other... I have met a couple. I was just thinking, I saw a picture and I met him recently too. And I'll brag on them actually a little bit because it's good. Derek and Anne-Marie Johnson. And I met them recently at graduation. And we haven't seen them forever. You know, we haven't seen them in a long time, and because they, you know, lives just go separate ways, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. They have a marriage that just reeks of Christ. It just is so evident, the love and the connection. And now I could never be there. They have different personalities than us, and so I wouldn't I want to be like them exactly. Derek's a little goofy and all that, and both of them are a little bit more than ambitious than I could ever handle, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. And they're different personalities, but the love that they have for each other, the respect, the connection, and on the same page kind of vibe or whatever, it's so evident. And it's like, yeah, I could say to people, there is a shining example. And they won't just teach you, they will show you. Watch them. Watch them. Just watch them interact. Watch them love on each other. Watch how they treat each other. Look at the, just watch them. I pray that Carlene and I are becoming more and more that. But that's where we become that. It's just, I'm going to pick on you a little bit, Tyler, because you're my son and you have to forgive me no matter what. But you know, I love that the kids are with us in worship. But I went over there and said, they just worship, just worship. They don't need another play buddy. I didn't say that, but they don't need that. But as they see us worship, as they watch us worship, they'll be drawn into worship in their lives. As they see worship emanating off of us, as they smell it on us, they'll be drawn more and more into it. And I look at the little ones who this is now, this is just right from day one, this is the beginning. And I see Josh dancing. Ellie, just dancing. It's like, oh. And I see, you know, Larry's there blowing the shofar, holding, you know, trying to balance. It's really skilled, actually. Very skilled. But Kira's there, and holding the shofar and blowing, and she's just, and his eyes are closed. He's just worshiping, and she's just staring at him. So good. Because before they can even understand the words that they're eventually going to be taught, they will have seen it. Now, there's nothing wrong necessarily with the kids playing, but I love it when Evie goes over to Lily on the piano, and Lily doesn't stop, right, and start playing her games. Hey, why don't you bring some blocks over? We could play over here. No, he reaches out, hugs her, puts her on her lap, and then keeps worshiping. You just worship. And we become that fragrance. We become that example. Because it's in us. He is in us. And we live out those lives. Now again, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and playing a little bit too. And I know. You're used to me. So you're whatever. But there's nothing wrong with that either. I'm not getting at that. But again, they don't need play buddies. They have people their own age. They have kids their own age for play buddies. And even if there's no one else, even if they're the only ones here, even if all the other kids are sick and only Quinn shows up or whatever, you know what? He can play by himself. He doesn't need a play buddy. He's mature enough, and every kid needs to learn to play on their own. You know, that's okay. What they need from us as adults who are walking with you, they need to see Jesus in us. As we're gathered here in this place, maybe at home, yeah, there's a place for that play buddy kind of thing. I love getting down on my knees and playing Lego. I think I sometimes enjoyed the Lego more than they did even, although they grew to appreciate that and love it too. But there's a place for that. But here, in a different time, you need to see, smell what true worship smells like. See what true worship looks like. Hear what true worship looks like. Taste it in their spirits. So too with the rest of the world. For better or worse, I think part of Carlene and my calling is definitely part of Emmanuel Grace's calling. Okay? And for better or worse, that's just the way it is. I'm not saying each of us individually has that calling that automatically. No. But I remember when we started Emmanuel Grace almost 5.5, 6 years ago, we're coming up on 6 years this fall, when we started it, we basically introduced it this way, okay? We said, this is the path that we're taking as a family. Like, as for me and my house, we're going this way, taking this journey, and follow the Lord, and we hear him saying this, and whether it's about the gifts and God speaking or waiting on him and all these things, we're going this way. You're welcome to join. You're welcome to join us. That's kind of how that at the birth of Emmanuel Grace, that was one of the almost foundational kind of statements. I don't know how better to put it. But this is the way we're going. We're not going to force anyone. We're not going to try and coerce anyone to come out or anything. This is the way we're going. You're more than welcome to come. Part of that peace that we were talking about before, that freedom and that peace, even in the worshiping at the band shell, really this place, we're just going to worship. Everyone else, anyone is welcome to come. You're welcome to come. We're not going to try and coerce you, and we're not going to try and program you into this place, you know, and figure out a strategy to get all these things. And you know, no, we're just going to be, and you are more than welcome to come. The door is always open. There's always another seat at the table. We can put a few more hamburgers on the barbecue. Like we have enough for everyone. We have enough for all of Niagara-on-the-Lake. We have enough for all of Southern Ontario if people want to drive that far. You know? Even from way out near past Waynefleet. We have enough. But this is our family, and this is and just letting the fragrance go out. I was laughing the other week. I told Larry about this, but it came from a conversation I had with Craig a little bit, and maybe I misunderstood a little bit, but I began to think about it, I am pretty convinced that if we shorten down our time from 3 hours down to about an hour and a half, hour and a quarter, hour and a half, we could probably have 3 or 4 more times number of people here. But we can't do that. Because it's not about that. It's about this is who we are. And I know that this is who we are in Christ. And I know that this is how we're supposed to be. I know that this is how we're supposed to live our lives. And the perfume, I pray, is emanating off of us. And I think, you know, we talk about people leaning in. I think they smell it on it and they lean in. Oh, yeah. But then you tell them the cost. Not that being here 3 hours is a cost or whatever, but like, you know, or whatever, like some of the different things. I said, well, no, I can't do that. But may it come from within us. May we not be known just for, okay, this is our doctrine and this is what we, you know, and stand for and all this. Yes, of course, Christ and Him crucified and all the fundamentals of the faith. I love that word. Other people are starting to hate that word in the Christian world. I love the word fundamental. I am a fundamentalist. That is very unpopular to say nowadays. I believe in the fundamentals of Christ. But may it not just be my words, my theological statements. May it emanate off me. May it be who I am. And then we will be a blessing to those around us. We'll be a blessing to our families. We'll be a blessing to our neighbors. We'll be a blessing to our neighborhoods and our communities. We'll be a blessing to this province, we'll be a blessing to this nation, we'll be a blessing to the world. You are the light of the world. You are His witnesses. And you know what? You're not supposed to witness about what you've read. There's a place in Scripture, and I forget where. Well, Peter talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1, that how we didn't follow cleverly invented stories or anything, but we were eyewitnesses. We're not supposed to be witnesses of what we've read, per se. Although, of course, we can be because this is the Word of God and it's faithful and true. But we're also supposed to be witnesses about what we have seen and heard. About what we ourselves have walked out. You know, when I've taught on marriage or when I've done counseling on marriage, it's not because I read it in a book. The stuff that we share is not because we read it in a book. It's because we had to walk out some things. And it's like, it works. I've walked it out. And I've seen it. And I've heard other people who have walked it out too and seen it in their lives. It reminds me of even when Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and he's like, you are our letter of recommendation, people's lives. And so as I look at Scripture, some people wonder, well, how do you know? Part of how I know is what it's produced in me. Yeah, come and inspect, come and look. And no, I'm not perfect yet because I'm not applying everything yet. But I want to more and more. I want to live out the life worthy of the calling I've received. I want to be the one song we sang. I want to be that bride that Christ saw while He was on the cross. And so may we... Oh, that's Carlene's phone. Never mind. I want to be... all of that. Are there any questions or comments on this? Understand this is the second part of the sermon, the first part. So any of the part before worship or after worship? One thing I sometimes do, I'll pass this on to you then. So I'll look at an aspect of my life and I will ask the Lord and I will ask myself, is this part of my life Is this what Christ wanted it to be? When he was dying on the cross, when he was dying for me, raised from the dead, when he was knitting me together in my mother's womb, is this the way Christ envisioned it? So whether it's work, am I the worker that I'm called to be? So for me, am I the pastor that I'm called to be? And I don't think I'm doing everything right yet. And I'm trying to, oh, I'm seeking God. I'm like, oh, God. And then I think, well, I can do it like that person. Oh, no, I don't see life in that, though. And not that I don't see life in it for them. Sometimes I see life in it for them, but not for me. Because we're all different. We're not just cookie cutter pastors. It's not. So Lord, am I walking this out? When you knit me together in my mother's womb and gave me the gifts that you gave me, is this what you had in mind? Or I look at my marriage. Lord, is this what you had in mind? Are we a shining example of what you have created us to be? Are we a shining example of what it means to be a godly husband and wife? In all aspects of our relationship. And if not, Lord, I want to be. Show me. Show me where. And then I go through different parts of my life and I just say that. Because I know that the more and more I become who I'm created to be, the more and more I work on self, right? The more and more the light Christ I will be, the fragrance of Christ, the more and more the salt of the earth I will be. And so often that question is on my heart. Lord, am I doing this right? Am I walking this out right? Am I being? And it has more to do with being than the doing, because the doing comes out of the being. Is my heart right in this? Is my life right in this? Am I thinking about this right? And then he gently, persuades me and moves me.
Most times I think of when I'm going to do something, what are my motives?
Yeah.
Like that's usually points me in the right direction.
It's a really good indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
But what helps me too is like just realizing that like he lives in me, and he chose me, and I'm righteous because of him, and I just rest in that, and then I have so much peace.
Yes.
Like just knowing it's not what I do.
And what I love with that, another question that I ask myself sometimes, variations of the same question, but so if it's him in me, does this smell like Jesus right now? Whatever it is, does this smell like Jesus? Does this look like Jesus? And if not, then it's, oh Lord, I need to change. It goes back to that basic, very, very, very basic prayer that I started praying over 20 years ago. Lord, change me then. Change me. I need to be changed. Does it smell like Jesus? Do you smell like Jesus at work? Do you smell like Jesus at home? Do you smell like Jesus in your marriage, in the way you interact with your kids, or the way you interact with your parents, the way you interact with your friends? Does your downtime, does your recreation smell like Jesus? Does your bank book smell like Jesus? The way you handle your finances? Does all these things? And the world, you know, when we hear that, the world might think that that's so burdensome. But actually, the more and more we just allow Jesus to flow. His words from Matthew 11 are proven true even more. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The lighter life becomes, actually. The more freedom. The more peace. It just becomes more.
I think it's important to remember Jesus is in bodily form. Even now he is.
He is.
He's not a spirit or a ghost or anything.
Right.
And, I think we can get Gnostic in our thinking.
Yep.
You know, do we see the Jesus with his head rolled back, laughing his head off, drinking wine with his friends? I mean, not to debauchery, but in healthy ways.
Yeah, enjoy.
Because I think sometimes we, the what would Jesus do little arm bracelet sometimes ends up being a legalistic thing, and it becomes very, I don't know how to say the word spiritual, but in a way that's not really what Jesus would do.
Right, totally. Because I see Jesus at the wedding celebrating, laughing with. And that's where I know a bunch of us, like, at different times, whether it's at a barbecue or hanging out, like, where one minute we're quoting scripture and encouraging each other with scripture, the next minute we're laughing about a great joke and or this or that, and it's all Jesus. Yeah.
Back to the argument that non-believers would say that we're not allowed to have any fun anymore. When you've got to follow religion, it's like, oh, all the fun's taken out of it. It's like, no, not at all.
Not at all. I think God, like, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Is laughter good? Oh, laughter is so good. So where does it come from? It comes from God. Right? It is good. I know that there have been times where I'm thinking specifically about some of our times down in Florida with the guys, but we're laughing and carrying on in the restaurant and like or whatever, and totally sober. Got my water right there, and well, just because I don't like paying $5 for a beer, but like, you know. Oh, God is so much fun. There's also seriousness and there's also sorrow, but there's a lot of laughter. Does it smell like Jesus? So I would encourage, in closing, you know, back to the original question, work on yourself, and you'll be a blessing to others. Examine yourself, and let's commit to getting rid of the wood, hay, and stubble, like we talked about before. Clear that out and make more room for the gold and silver and precious stones. Let's get rid of the foul-smelling stuff in our life so that more and more of His perfume can be evident. Right? Let's get rid of the things that take away from Christ and build up the things that point to Him. Let's get rid of the broken cisterns, the muddy cisterns, the polluted cisterns in our life, and just have that stream of living water. That's more than sufficient. Let's dive out into the deep where we can't touch the bottom anymore. And rely on Him. And may people see us in Him. So, Lord God, just all morning, I have been, to carry on the metaphor, I have been smelling your perfume all morning. And then just now, even, it's like, and then I realize your perfume is on me, and your perfume is on others here. Pray that we would take that with us wherever we go. I pray that our children would smell it on us, see it on us. I pray that our friends, pray that our family would, our neighbors. Pray that our province would, our government. I pray that our lives would be a continual invitation to others to come to you, to taste for themselves and see that you are good. You are worthy, Lord, and we love you, and we want more of you. We praise you. Praise you, Jesus, for living in us, choosing us as your vessels, choosing us as your home and your temple. You are worthy. In your name.